Welcome into the Camel Call podcast. You guys may have been looking around the stands and seeing one of the most impactful people in Campbell history, maybe not for his playing career or not for things of that nature, but someone who's been around the program for so long. And we're just so excited to have John Boney on with us for this conversation. And Boney, first and foremost, thank you for jumping on. And secondly, how proud are you to be a Campbell Camel all these years later after graduating from the school nearly 40 years ago?
Oh, good grief. I graduated in 78, and I've never been more proud. And I've never lost my interest in the basketball program through all the years. And my goal now is just to help them do whatever it takes to get back to where they want to be.
We'll start on kind of your current role with the team, because I think it's a unique story. And this probably dates back to, 4 or 5 years ago now, but there was a unique opportunity for you living up in Durham to come down and help out with the team. How did that all kind of come about for you?
Well, I was coming to practice. I've been coming to practice for a long time, and I was coaching at the same time in Durham and using it as an opportunity to keep learning. You can't stop learning. But on January the 12th, 2019, Andrew Gofsky, who's now at VMI, had me sign up with personnel as a volunteer assistant with basketball operations. And that's where what I'm doing now currently started. One of the big things we do at all alumni functions, giving tours and talking to the former players, because I know so many of them, and helping to try and get people back on campus and doing that. And then I chart at every game, I'm charting defensive stats for Coach White. And during practice, I'm doing some stats, and I'm always there encouraging the players, because I know what they're going through, especially when they have a bad day and they start getting down, they're young. And I'm always trying to encourage them to keep their head up and doing stuff like that. And it's a blast. After I quit coaching about 3 years ago, it's kept me in the game and kept my mind sharp.
Boney, I wanted to ask you about your relationship both with the coaching staff and Kevin McGeehan and his crew, of course, but then also these players who see you every day at practice. I know there's been there was a trip to Florida this past year. They're playing Florida Gulf Coast, and you and your wife drove down and met the team, and you got to jump on a charter plane a few years ago and go to Abilene Christian. What is that dynamic like with this group?
It's wonderful. Me and my wife are almost at every game, I'm doing these stats for Coach White. But last year was a little different when we went to Florida. We didn't drive down. I was in a unique situation. I had a bad head injury at camp about 7 years ago, and I got hit in the head with a basketball, and it knocked the retina off my right eye, and I had to have emergency surgery that day. This was during camp. And drove to Cary, and they did the surgery. And an hour after the surgery, I was back at camp with my eye, with a patch over my eye and a big bubble. And the kid said, "Well, why are you back? You could have gone. You should." I said, "Well, I made a commitment to you guys, and I'm going to fulfill my commitment here at camp." I said, "Now, you guys would have used this as an excuse to go home for a week." I said, "But I don't do stuff like that." And but last year, right before the tournament in Fort Myers, I had my fifth eye surgery. And my eye, they took all the fluid out of my eye to do the surgery. I had to cut my eye in three places. Well, they filled it up with nitrous oxide and told me I couldn't fly on the plane. They said my eye, the air pressure in the plane could make my eye explode on the plane. And I said, "Well, then that wouldn't be a good situation." So I told Coach McGeehan, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to the Thanksgiving tournament." And I left it at that. I said, "I'm just not going to be able to be down there." I would chart it with my one eye on TV. So we were game, and Coach McGeehan came in. He said, "John, your wife's out in the hallway on the phone talking to somebody." And I said, "Oh, there's no telling." Well, I found out what she was doing, and it was unique. I didn't tell Coach McGeehan because they thought we weren't coming. We left Raleigh on Amtrak 22 hours before the team left Buies Creek. And we rode that train for about 24 hours. And we got to the team hotel in Fort Myers 30 minutes after the team did. And I'm walking down, we'll have a Thanksgiving meal that night. I'm walking down the hallway, and I'll never forget this. It shows you about Coach McGeehan and how the guys are. He saw me walking down the hallway. He stopped. He said, "Is that Boney?" And then I'm not going to tell you what he said next, but it was kind of like, well, how did he get here and why? What's going on? He was shocked. And we went in, and he asked me to do the prayer for the team meal, that Thanksgiving meal that night. And that just shows you how they are. I didn't even tell them I was coming. They were glad to see me. And I think they might have been a little shocked. But that was the longest train ride in my life.
No, I was going to say, I remember traveling on that trip, and the surprise factor of it was fantastic. And it's always great to have you at the games. Boney, I want to go back a few years now, because you have the unique experience both of being a student at Campbell, playing on the basketball team, but also attending and working the Campbell basketball camp, which has so much history and dates back, gosh, even to the late 1950s. But from your experiences as a camper, what did you enjoy about getting workouts in Carter Gym and meeting some of these famous both NBA and at the time college basketball players?
Working at Carter Gym was a trip, because they used to talk about how Red Auerbach returned the heat on in Boston Garden. In June, Boston Garden had nothing over Carter Gym. It was the hottest place on earth. And I've seen days, used to be a thermometer in there where up at the top of the seats, once that high off the ground, it'd be 125 degrees on the thermometer. And down on the floor, there was another thermometer, and it'd be like 110. And we'd have fans blowing, and it was hot. But nobody seemed to care, because we were all playing basketball. And nobody complained. The players today don't like to go to Carter because it's so hot. And I tell them, you don't know how lucky you are. But it was a hot box, and still is, because they still hadn't put air conditioning in it, and I don't think they ever will. But the experience then was good. As a camper, the first camp, I came in 10 years old in 1965, and my first counselor was Johnny Marshbanks, who still comes to some of the games and sits with me and my wife in the first row there behind the bench. He's been a mentor of mine since 1965. We talked on the phone last night. But he's meeting him. But then I can tell you, the coaches that were there, we have to start with John Wooden from UCLA.
Absolutely.
Then there's Tate Slock from Wake Forest and Terry Holland for Virginia. And the comedian himself, Lefty Driesell from Maryland. Dean Smith from UNC. Norm Sloan from State. Jerry Steele from High Point. A very good coach who a lot of people don't know, Red Myers from Erskine College in South Carolina, Sam Moore from Catawba College, Bones McKinney, Press Maravich, of course. But then there was Coach Roberts and Coach Fred McCall. Those two more or less ran the camp. And, you know, Coach Bones McKinney was there, but it was Fred McCall's baby from the beginning. And that matter of fact, Fred McCall and Coach Roberts are the reason I even came to Campbell. I can tell you some of the players, some of them I've known almost all my life. But John Lucas, who still works with the Houston Rockets, was there. And people have always asked me, who was the best player I ever saw at the Campbell basketball camp? And that's a hard question to answer. So the way I do it is, Pete Maravich was by far the best offensive player that I ever saw. I mean, he was top notch. And during the counselor games at night, I had the opportunity, some in 74, when I first started working at the camp, we played games at night after the sessions were done. And I tell you what, you better know where he is and where the ball is at all times, because it'll come out of nowhere right to you. And he was a wonderful guy. We used to go, one of the highlights, we'd go sit in his dorm room over in Bryan where he stayed and just talk about basketball. But he was the best passer. He was a good scorer, but he was even a better passer to me.
Which is crazy to think, Boney, because, you know, Pistol Pete, obviously the all-time leading scorer in NCAA mm-hmm. basketball, and he did it in 3 years, which is just insane to think about.
Nobody will ever do it again.
Boney, since you were both a player and a staffer at the Campbell basketball camp, give us a sense of some of the all-time greats or some of your favorite players to participate in the camp.
I can't remember all of them because I am 65 now, but I've got John Lucas that played at the University of Maryland. Actually, he's with the Houston Rockets now as a support staff. Had a great NBA career. He was probably the best athlete I ever saw at the Campbell camps. He was also not only played guard at Maryland, was All-American. He was also the number one ranked tennis player in the NCAA in Division I. And after we would play the games, the counselor games sometimes, Lucas wanted to play, have a tennis workout. So Campbell's number one player came over and played him after he played basketball for a few hours. And he went out behind Carter on the old tennis courts and just wore him out. Well, the next night, he told that guy, he said, next night, bring the number two player. And they did. And they said, and Lucas played doubles. He played the Campbell's number one doubles team after playing basketball. He played doubles. He played, covered the other side of the court by himself and beat him again. He was amazing. I mean, just the best athlete I ever saw. Lynn Elmore that played at Maryland was there. Mitch Kupchak from UCLA. Ricky Bell from UNC. Of course, Pete Maravich from LSU and at Atlanta at the time. Bill Fig Newton was there. He was the center at LSU. And one of the funniest things you ever see was see him and Pete drive up to Campbell in that white Volkswagen Beetle and try and get out of that car. I don't know how both of them even got in. But Bob Cousy, Celtics great, was there. Tiny Archibald. And a player a lot of people don't know, Bob Kaufman, that played with the Buffalo Braves in the NBA, was there. A guy who played at high school where I was, at Wallace Rose Hill, was there as a camper. He won the high school championship while he was at Wallace Rose Hill. Then he went to Guilford College and led them to the national championship win. Then he went to the ABA, played there, ended up in the NBA, won the NBA championship with the Celtics, coached the Celtics, and then ended up being the NBA general manager. And that's ML Carr. And he's one of the best people you'll ever meet. He's from my hometown. But then you have to go to the Lehman Brothers. They were as much a part of the camp as anybody, Austin and George. Now his, and their other brother, Ben, was at Campbell the same time I was. He was playing. But George Lehman was absolutely, without a doubt, the greatest shooter at basketball that I've ever seen. And he developed the beef method. But he ended up playing for the Atlanta Hawks. But before, he played with the Carolina Cougars, played with a bunch of teams in the ABA. But he ended his career with the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA. But George was probably as much – as big a person at camp as there ever was. Even if he played at Campbell, people didn't know who he was when they first showed up to camp. But when they left, everybody knew who George Lehman was. And he was just out of this world good. Best shooter I've ever seen.
What was it like from your perspective? You know, obviously you kind of watched Maravich when he was young, and then seeing Chris Clemons, who scores in a different way but is still climbing up the scoring ranks, and to kind of witness two of the, gosh, top three all-time scorers in college history.
They were definitely different players. Similar results, but different players. Maravich was used to doing his, what he called his showboat routine, where he did all his skills and stuff. And I saw him do stuff that I've never seen anybody do since then. Throwing the pass three quarters the length of the court behind his back and hitting the target without the ball hitting the floor. It's amazing the shoulder strength he must have had. Chris was more of a silent assassin. Chris was always kind of quiet. He never showboated. He never bragged. He never acted out on the court. He just played basketball, and he'd stick it in your heart. Maravich was used to being the center of attention. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he was a little bit more flamboyant, outgoing and talkative, and did different things. But as far as scoring the ball, there's not much difference between the two. But they were different players, different attitudes, but both of them very friendly once you get to know them.
No doubt. And I just with the Campbell basketball camp, because a lot of people under the age of let's say, 35 or 40 – may have heard of the camp, but they don't necessarily know a lot about it. So from your perspective, as someone who worked it and someone who obviously was a camper when you were growing up, what was that experience like? What was kind of the buzz around the state just talking about Campbell basketball camp in the summer?
It was the best camp in the world, and it was the largest and the oldest. And even now, if I'm in the upper peninsula of Michigan at the very tip up by Copper Harbor, and I've got on a Campbell shirt, or if I'm in New Orleans and I got on a Campbell shirt, it's not unusual for somebody to say, oh, I know where Campbell College and Campbell University is. My grandfather went to camp there, or my dad went to camp there, or I've been to camp there. And then if they've got their sons, when they'll start talking about the camp. And they always ask if it's still there. And I say, of course, it's still there. When they changed the rule, when Division I coaches couldn't go participate in another camp like they used to, it changed Campbell's camp. That's how it was run. And then camps popped up on every street corner. They're everywhere. But the camp now is basically the same way. It's smaller because there's camps everywhere. But it's still, I think, fundamentally, there's not a camp fundamentally that teaches the fundamentals of basketball anywhere any better.
Yeah, Boney, it's fascinating, too, because especially when you consider the history of Campbell basketball and that camp, you know, Stan Cole did the research, is the longest camp ever in terms of any collegiate setup. And, you know, nowadays, I know you help work the camp, a little different structure. It's in Gore Arena, obviously, which is a much different venue. But do you still notice any parents of these kids who come by and say, oh, yeah, you know, I played here in 1986, let's say, or what's that experience like for you?
Well, there are campers that come and their parents bring them who were also in the camp. And I've had grandfathers who came up, said, yeah, I was in the camp. The camp started in, I think, 1956, 55 or 50, I think it was 56. And there are people who still come, and some of them are amazed it's still there. And there's a lot of other camps now, but I don't think there's one anywhere better at teaching the fundamentals of basketball than this camp. And it's been a big impact on my life. Now, obviously, when I was 10 years old and met Mr. Marshbanks and made a friend. And I'll tell you how much of the camp has meant to me. When I came to camp, someone had to pay for me to come. And I don't know who it was. It might have been my parents. It could have been my grandparents. I don't know. But I would come to camp and stay over the week, and we'd play. I'd come for 2 weeks every summer. And what I decided, my wife and I, we decided to start a scholarship for the basketball camp. And Coach McGee knows what to do, but if there's kids who want to come to the camp and can't afford to come, me and my wife will pay for them to come. And they started the John Boney Camper of the Week Award when we started the scholarship. And we give out these awards, not necessarily to the best player, the best scorer, but the best all-around person. And it's kind of unique. The first winner of that award is playing for Campbell now, and that's Andrew Carroll. And we started that about 5 years ago, 4 years ago maybe. And I told Coach McGee one year, about 7 years ago, to quit paying me to work in camp, to keep that money in the budget. I'm trying to pay it forward. And because of what the school meant to me, my wife and I also make a donation twice a year for men's basketball. And matter of fact, we're getting ready to do that again soon. But it has meant that much to me. And in 1977, when they had just played for the NAIA National Championship game, we were playing the Athletes in Action in a exhibition game in Federal at the Cumberland County Memorial Auditorium. And that was the year they started Division I. And I was working as a student assistant in sports information with RV Height. Wendell Carr had asked me, and there's more that goes behind this, but he asked me after I knew I wasn't going to play anymore if I'd be wanting to work for the athletic office. I said, well, of course. But we were down there playing the Athletes in Action. And when I came to Campbell, you know, I knew who God was. But after that game, one of the guards from them that just wore us out, he came. We were talking after the game. And after that game, talking with him, my relationship went from a head knowledge to a relationship with God. And I have to tell you, if it wasn't for God first and Campbell University second, I wouldn't have had much of a life. And I'm spending all my time now just paying things back they took a chance on me when they didn't have to. And I spend my time now trying to help other kids and paying Campbell back the best I can.
That's fascinating, Boney. And I wanted to ask you, because you bring up a great point about the basketball side of it. You know, this program that made an NIAA championship game, they were a dominant program at that level. You were a part of that, both as a player and on the staff. What was that experience like for you guys kind of transitioning to Division I?
I was in 1974, and I have to go back to my high school year. My junior year in high school, I broke my leg, and I didn't know it was broken. I just knew I was having pain in my lower left leg. And I played the whole season, never missed a practice, but I couldn't put any weight impact on my left heel because it hurt too bad. I just kept my left heel off the floor. And it got worse. And as it started healing, it got worse. I didn't even play my senior year. I couldn't. But I still hoped to be a walk-on at Campbell in the fall of 74. And I came in, and I still wasn't myself. My leg just didn't want to work right. And we finally figured out, and I didn't know it. We went to the doctor, and they x-rayed my leg. And he said, when did you break your leg? I said, I don't know. I never broke my leg. We come to find out my leg had broken. And I remember when it happened and how it happened. But nobody ever thought that I broke my leg. So they never did an x-ray. And they did the x-ray. He said, we need to cut your leg and reset this bone because it has healed crooked. And it was putting pressure on my left knee, causing my knee to hurt. So I was having lower leg pain and knee pain. He said, we can surgery and cut it. He said, or you can keep playing and exercising and working out. And the stress will eventually straighten the bone. Well, I chose that route. And I was just kept playing the best I could. And by the end of my sophomore year, the bone had apparently turned itself like you said it would. And I was no longer having pain. And I'm thinking, well, so I talked to Coach Roberts, and I knew that my time playing, we're going to play at camp, it was over. I knew I wasn't going to play. And there was another player at Campbell. We used to play pickup games in Carter all the time. His name was Bill Ross. And I told Bill, I said, Bill, you ought to be a walk-on. I said, you're good enough to play. He said, you sure? You really think so? I said, yes. And I encouraged Bill. And he was a walk-on the year they played for the national championship in 77. By that time, I was already working. That's when I knew I wasn't going to play. And Wendell Carr, the athletic director, asked me if I'd go work in sports information with RV Height. And I did. And I really enjoyed it. And then Coach Roberts told me, he said, John, he said, one day you might be a good basketball coach. He said, would you like to do that? And I said, well, yeah, I'd consider it. Well, he made some phone calls. And the summer of 1977, he had sent me to Brant Lake, New York, to work as a basketball coach at a camp up there for 3 months. And that's where I started. That's where I finally got into coaching basketball. And it went on from there. And I went to Gorman Christian Academy in Durham. After I spent 20 years doing strength and conditioning, when I retired from that, I ended up at Gorman Christian Academy coaching basketball and being the athletic director. So the experience with the sports information helped me as the athletic director. And then started coaching basketball. I was there for 12 seasons. And I finally stopped with this eye injury. I couldn't help drive the bus. It wasn't safe for me to drive all those kids. So I finally retired, but in those 12 seasons, we won 6 regular season championships and 3 end-of-the-season tournament championships in those 12 years. And I loved every minute of that. But I kept working at the camp through all that, too.
No, absolutely.
That gives you an idea of how all this evolved. I never put on a uniform at Campbell. I was hoping to be a walk-on. And the injury that I did in high school put a limit to that. But I played pickup games with them. I knew all the guys. I got to know them. And I enjoyed it almost as much as I would have been a walk-on.
That's a great point, Boney. And you're mentioning Fred McCall and Danny Roberts and John Marshbanks, who are legends and Hall of Famers in their own right at Campbell University. What was that experience, not only being able to to interact and get to know those folks. But now, you know, fast forward 30-ish years, and you're still connected to the program. You still get to see alumni. How has that relationship built or grown for you over these years?
One of the things I enjoy every day at practice is hoping that Coach Jerry Smith and Coach Roberts are at practice. And I go over and talk to both of them. And talking to Coach Roberts is a pleasure. His health isn't like it used to be. He's much older. And but I enjoy seeing him at practice every time he's there, and I go talk to him. And of course, if any of the alumni show up at practice, I quit doing my stats I'm doing, and I walk over and make sure I talk to them, because Coach McGinn and them don't have time to just stop practice and go talk to them. Like when Fred Whitfield's there, I go talk to Fred. I talk to all the former players, no matter when they played, and try and keep them connected as alumni. But it's Johnny Marshbanks at one time was the all-time leading scorer at Campbell. And just being around him, and he's as competitive at 75 as he was at 20. And if you're ever at a Campbell game, you will hear him. He's
no doubt.
He is as competitive now as he ever was.
It's funny, him and Jim Perry, I see them both at a lot of games, and those two are about as animated and fired up for their particular sports as any alumni, and obviously both did so much once they left school as well.
Yeah, Mr. Perry, I've met him at a few of the alumni functions, and people don't, you know, he was a great baseball player, but a lot of people don't realize he played basketball at Campbell too. He wasn't just a baseball player, but he's a good guy. I mean, just down to earth, and will speak to everybody like he's known him forever.
I always find it fascinating too, Boney, just speaking to the Campbell basketball camp and how different faces and different names all come together, that Christian Laettner, who of course was part of Duke lore and success over all those years, he got to play in Carter Gym at the camps, and then had the unique honor of playing against Campbell all those years later in the NCAA tournament in Greensboro. So I do kind of find it interesting how it all comes together like that.
In 1992, I remember that game, and what was it, Chris Mocknett?
Yeah.
Was the leading scorer of the game. He was a very, very good player. Campbell was the underdog, very much so, playing to expect that they went well. Duke won the national championship that year. But Campbell did not back down, and they had nothing to be ashamed of.
I know we've shown the video over the years, Boney, but you'd appreciate this. My favorite part of the championship celebration, beating Charleston Southern, is seeing Stan Cole, the sports information director, who was probably in his late 20s at that time, jumping up and down on the court and celebrating with the guys, because you know, that's one of those moments that the support staff, like you were saying, they don't always get to celebrate it. But you know, you were part of tournament wins these last few years with the men's side with Campbell, and it's got to be neat, you know, put in all those hours and be able to celebrate that success.
Yeah, the when they won the regular season at Gore Arena in 2019, just watching Chris's and Udy's reaction. That's what they've been working for their whole 4 years. And I was thrilled for those two to get to see what that felt like.
Boney, my final question for you is kind of Campbell related, but as someone who's so connected to the program over all these years and continues, like you said, to give back and set up endowment scholarships for camps and come to the games and help with the coaches during the season and whatnot, what does it mean for you to be a part of this Campbell community? And I know you've mentioned how much Campbell has meant to you, but how much pride do you have in being a part of that group as well?
Well, I've never not felt like I wasn't part of the Campbell community. It started when I was 10 years old at camp, started working in camp in 1974. And I'm still there at camp. And now I'm helping as a volunteer assistant with basketball operations as much as I can. I've never lost that feeling. It's part of who, after what Campbell did for me and took that chance on me and the way things have turned out, I've never lost the feeling. I didn't have to regain it or relight the torch. It's just always been there. Campbell is part of me, and it always will be.
Well, Boney, I can't wait for a day when, you know, of course all of us can get back to practice, but also, too, we can get back to seeing you in the arena with the new court, the new floor and everything. And
oh, yeah.
It's great to have you on this podcast.